Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Ellie MacArthur, Henry Walker, and Eliza Lee. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston will have some creepy visitors this weekend in the lead-up to Halloween, with the Creepy Doll Museum making a stop at the Broom Factory. After 6 years of sold-out shows in Peterborough, Toronto, Ottawa, and Prince Edward County, the Creepy Doll Museum is bringing its collection of nearly 200 dolls to Kingston for the first time. Creepy Doll curators Catherine Behun and Ben Hatcher, the pair who started it all 6 years ago, shared with CFRC how the collection began and grew into a touring museum. Well, to start us off, for those who haven't met you guys, I'm wondering if you'd like to introduce yourselves and share a bit about how the Creepy Doll Museum all began.
Sure. My name is Catherine Behun.
And I'm Ben Hatcher, and we are the co-curators of the Creepy Doll Museum, which, as far as we know, is the first and only Creepy Doll Museum in the world.
I'll share how it started. So I was at a yard sale in Peterborough that's known as like this whole street yard sale. And someone was selling their doll collection, parts of their doll collection. And I bought a few for myself that I thought were very enchanting looking, which translates to be creepy. Big foreheads, frosted eyes, and things like that. And it was Ben's birthday that weekend as well. So I thought, I'm going to get one for Ben and bring it to him for his birthday. He loved it, obviously, the creepiness. Then we just, every time we ran into each other at social settings, we just kind of joke about the creepy dolls. And anytime I'd go thrifting, I would continue to buy these creepy, unloved dolls with cracked skin and clouded eyes. And it just sort of, we're not sure who came up with the idea, actually, but somehow the idea was born. And
Yeah, I think that it got to a point where either somebody who just had a lot of creepy dolls in her house, or we did something cool with it and turned it into an event. And we did the latter, and it worked out really well.
And when you guys started, did you ever imagine you'd be getting to the point where you're going on tour with it and doing all this stuff?
No. The first time we did it, we did put a lot of work into the first event, but honestly, we thought we'd be lucky if we got 20 people showing up.
Yeah,
to come see it.
Our goal the first year was, like, hopefully we get enough money, like enough profit to go out for a drink at the end of the event. And now this is year 7, and everywhere we go, there's huge lineups. We always have to check, like, what's the fire capacity in this venue? And people really, really love it. And so do we.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be your first visit to Kingston. What made you guys choose to venture all the way out here?
So the first couple of years was just Peterborough, and then COVID hit. And then once COVID ended, we're like, we want this, like, we want to really like re-enter this with a bang. So we went to Toronto, we went to Prince Edward County, we went to Ottawa. And I don't know, Kingston was just the next sort of largest city within a decent drive of us. And I've got some good friends there who have been bugging me to bring the collection down that way. And yeah, here we are.
Lucky them.
Catherine and Ben explained how their collection has grown to nearly 200 dolls from across Canada, each with its own backstory. And you mentioned there some of the traits you look for when you're searching for dolls or when receiving dolls. I was wondering, from a curator perspective, how do you choose your dolls?
You can go first on this one,
Kat. Sure. I'm looking for dolls that I know that nobody else is going to want. So they tend to be older dolls. Like I said, cracked skin, maybe they have, like, for some reason, an extra large forehead because their hair has been pulled out. Cloudy eyes, eyes that are blinking, not in unison. And definitely anything that freaks me out, I'm buying.
And for me, I like the ones that are maybe strange materials. So a lot of the dolls we have are handmade, probably 1800s. So they're stuffed with straw. They're made with burlap sacks. Their eyes are buttons that are kind of falling off. And it is really, I just like looking at things and being like, wow, 100 years ago, people thought this was cute, and it is actually horrifying. But I mean, you know, the Great Depression, cholera, there was all kinds of issues in the world, World War I and II, you know, so many people's ideas of what was horrifying was a bit different than they are now. But most of our dolls now, we don't have to look for. Since the very first year we did it, we got an incredible amount of media attention. And since then, people have reached out to us from all over Canada. I think we've received dolls from every province in Canada saying things like, oh, my grandmother passed away. This was her childhood doll. I don't want it in the house because it is horrifying. But I feel guilty getting rid of it. And if I bury it in the backyard, I'm worried it might come back to eat me or something like that. So it's a lot of people who are handing off items that belong to people they loved. And what I really love about a lot of the creepy dolls that we receive is hearing the stories of the dolls themselves or the previous owners of the dolls.
And do both of you have a favorite story or a favorite doll that you'd like to share?
I have a few favorites. Yeah, I'd say one of my favorites is Mortimer. He was the first one that caught my attention at that yard sale. He sort of resembles Jack Nicholson in doll form. He's got this huge forehead and this sort of sneaky grin.
And I don't really like to say I have a favorite because the dolls do listen, and we are worried, you know, there's a lot of vanity and jealousy in the dolls, so they might come back to haunt me. But I do love the stories. And so for each doll that goes on display, each doll has an individualized biography that was written by a different Ontario author. So there's little fictional backstories for every single one of our dolls. And some of them are really spooky. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are just plain weird and funny. But the dolls are great, but the dolls combined with the stories for me is really what really kind of brings them to life.
And it's not just the dolls who have stories to tell. Visitors to the museum tend to leave with a few of their own.
One thing that I really do love about the show, too, is how social it often becomes. So people come and I don't want to say it becomes a party, but people linger because it's just storytelling in a lot of ways. And then every single person that walks through the museum, as they're leaving, we ask them, please vote for your favorite doll. Like, which doll was your favorite? And everybody has one, and everybody has put so much thought into it. And then Catherine and I have a running tally of like which doll got the most votes at any given event. And every doll that gets the most votes earns itself a bright red sash that Catherine sews.
Yeah.
So anyone who comes, if they're wondering why some dolls are wearing red sashes, it's those dolls were voted best in show.
For most of the year, the dolls live with Catherine in her home in Peterborough. So far, she and Ben say they've been mostly safe from hauntings.
So the dolls live in my house year round. So there's well over 200 dolls. Some are on display. Some are tucked away in their hiding places like they like to be. And I have not noticed any paranormal experiences, but I think that's mostly because I treat them really well. They're happy in my house. Some of them have real place of honor. And I think if they were unhappy, they would let me know for sure.
And I have not had any paranormal experiences, but when I first moved to Peterborough, the house had a deep freeze in the basement. And it was an old, creepy, you know, 1800s serial killer style basement. And in the deep freeze was a plastic bag. And in the plastic bag was this one doll. And that's Jasmine. Jasmine is quite the creepy doll. And I have no idea why it was in the deep freeze, but I'm sure the previous owner had a reason. Anyway, when I left that house, I went up to the attic and I drew like a weird pentagram on the floor in the attic, and I left a doll in the middle of it for the next person to find. So if they ever go up there, they'll be treated to something.
Yeah. I think Jasmine's so happy in my home because she's our spokesperson. She's the image on our t-shirts.
She's like the mascot.
She's sort of like the unofficial mascot of the doll museum. Yeah. So she loves it.
Ben shared what Kingstonians can expect from their visit.
They can expect more dolls than they've ever seen in their entire lives. Catherine are dressed up as two of the dolls. So the very first year, Catherine is a seamstress as well. And she picked out two of the dolls and made matching outfits for her and I. So we'll look smashing for sure. On the Saturday night, we will also have another living doll who will be working the crowd a little bit. What will be different about this year? So if there are people who are listening who have been before, and we have had people drive to the Peterborough show from Kingston, so you never know. There's always new dolls. And then this year, for the first time, we've created a diorama. And we have bags and bags of very small dolls that don't make it on display. And we've always, you know, felt kind of bad about these dolls that need their moment to shine. And so Catherine, myself, and two friends, Tim in Peterborough and Angie in Ottawa, have been working on a library scene. So it's a library diorama in the world of the creepy dolls. And we are very excited for that to show that off a little bit.
Yeah. We like to add a little something every year.
The museum's newest resident, Stephen, also dropped by to give a preview of what's to come. And will Stephen be joining you as well?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely. I was writing his bio last night.
Would you like to give Kingstonians a little warning about Stephen since he's the newcomer?
Well, Stephen is a ventriloquist dummy from, I would guess, the 1890s based on the material he's built from. He was the prized possession of a circus performer. And in 1952, the Great Circus Fire, you know, burnt down the circus tent. Every single patron perished in that fire. And the only thing that was found after the fire in the ash was Stephen holding a bag of 52 tongues.
Once again, that was Ben and Catherine with the Creepy Doll Museum coming to Kingston this weekend. For brave Kingstonians, the Creepy Doll Museum will be open at the Broom Factory, 305 Rideau Street, on Friday, October 24th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. and Saturday, October 25th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. To learn more about the collection and their visit, you can check out at Creepy Doll Museum on Instagram. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry with your campus and student news on CFRC's Campus Beat. With Fall Reading Week officially over, students are now heading into the final stretch of midterm season. The return to classes this week also means heavier workloads, deadlines, and increased academic pressure across the board. If you're feeling the weight, remember that Student Academic Success Services, or SASS, offers support with writing, time management, and study strategies. Appointments and online workshops can be booked through the Queen's website. It's also a good time to check in with Student Wellness Services, which provides confidential counseling and health support for all students. You don't need to be in crisis to reach out. Even a short conversation can make a whole world of difference. Meanwhile, the University District Safety Initiative, or UDSI, remains in effect. The initiative began on October 17th at 9 p.m. and continues until November 2nd at 6 a.m. This period includes heightened enforcement by Kingston Police and bylaw services within the university district. Under the UDSI, charges for offenses like open alcohol, noise violations, and public intoxication may be shared with Queen's University for potential review under the Student Code of Conduct. In addition, bylaw fines are also increased during this period. The goal of this activity is, according to the City of Kingston, Kingston Police, and Queen's University itself, to promote safety and reduce disruptions during high-traffic weekends, such as Halloween, Homecoming, the comeback to school right after summer break, and St. Patrick's Day. As part of this initiative, the Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach are closed to the public nightly from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. on these weekends, October 17th to 19th, October 24th to 26th, and October 31st to November 2nd. Looking ahead, the AMS Fall Clubs Showcase is coming up on Tuesday, October 29th in the ARC Gym. This is a great opportunity to connect with student clubs and organizations across campus, from academic and cultural groups to volunteer collectives and performance clubs. If you've been looking to get involved, this is a great place to start. Although many Queen's students may be accustomed to hearing of the institution's financial woes, Queen's University has in fact just concluded the 2024-2025 fiscal year with a reported surplus of over $60 million. This is according to the Queen's University itself, primarily due to strong investment returns exceeding $151 million. Without the gains, the university would have faced a deficit of nearly $8.6 million. In response to this increase in fiscal pressures, Queen's plans to nearly double its annual allocation from the pooled investment fund to the operating budget, increasing from $5.2 million to $10 million for the next 3 years, that's 2025 onwards. This has been Henry Walker with your Queens Campus Beat. Up next is your sports desk with Eliza and Jesse.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, October 22nd, daytime high of just 12 degrees with more rain in the forecast and 85% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 8 overnight. Thursday, October 23rd, coldest day of the week so far, daytime high of 11, feeling closer to 7 with a 70% chance of rain, dropping down to 5 overnight. Friday, October 24th, high of 9 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Saturday, October 25th, it's going to be a cool day here in the city of Kingston. Still worth checking out the Queens Gaels versus McMaster Marauders playoff football game. Daytime high of 11 with a mix of sun and cloud. And then Sunday, October 26th, daytime high of 10, sunny conditions, but it'll feel closer to 11, dropping down to 7 overnight. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Aberdeen, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity. Albert, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity. Barrie, Queen 2 Colborne is closed to accommodate construction activity. Barrie, Union 2 Bagot is closed October 20th to 24th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for ongoing construction work. Earl Street, Collingwood 2 Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Johnson Street at Victoria is closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. John Marks Avenue at Highway 15 is closed October 20th to 23rd from 7 to 7 to accommodate road works. Kings Court Ave, Concession, and First Ave is closed until November 21st for gas main installation. Sydenham Street, Princess 2 Queen is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street community space. Tivoli Avenue, Midland 2 Sierra is closed until October 24th for the installation of new services. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, delays while a contractor mobilizes to work on John Marks, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, contractor will be delaying things for the construction of new sidewalk and road. Montreal at John Counter, Trudell, development to Danbury, and Victoria Street and Earl Street will all have delays due to construction work.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our concerts and events calendar for the week. Starting with concerts, there's a little something for everyone, so stay tuned. On Wednesday, catch acoustic duo Grapes of Wrath at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. and the Kingston Blues Society presents Jeff Dunn at the RCHA starting at 7 p.m. Red Dirt Skinners have been described as the Pink Floyd of folk music. They play at Crossroads United Church at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, so you can be the judge. At the Mansion, Hotel Nora and Bleecker play from 7 to 11 p.m. and my favorite, the open mic at Hotel Wolf Island starts at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, it's Queer Night at the Screening Room. Catch the Rocky Horror Picture Show 1975 and Costume Contest starting at 9:15 p.m. If you're looking for some spooky music, Brownman's Halloween Thriller Jazz Hip Hop Trumpet plays the RCHA starting at 7 p.m. and Original Thursdays with Emily Steele is at the Coven starting at 5 p.m. Also on Thursday, at Musiki, 7:30 to 11:30 p.m., Aaron Wilder, Emma Jean, and Kingston Must See Kyra play. On Friday the 24th, Queens Music Club presents a homecoming show at the Mansion featuring Sleep on the Couch, Doghouse, and Two Time, three emerging bands that always bring high energy and Queen spirit. The show starts at 8. At the Spire, see Candlelight featuring Vivaldi's Four Seasons and more, with Lasto Spring Quartet. This show starts at 6:30 p.m. And Mamma Mia, also at the Spire, Candlelight Tribute to ABBA String Quartet starts at 8:30. If you're more in the mood for some alternative rock, Squid Pistol plays at the Royal Tavern 2.0 starting at 9 p.m. Stephen Fearing and the Sentimentals and Bissette play Le Sesame Theater at 7:30 p.m. Scott Owen plays the Creekside Bar at 6 p.m. Jeff Callery at the Coven at 5 p.m. And if you're in the mood to groove, Brent Buck Tingley plays the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. On Saturday, The Buckle presents the Good Country Music Show starting at 7:30 and featuring live music from Jenny Whitley, Luther Wright, Emily Steele, and The Deal, and The Millwrights. Big Fat Horn Band plays the RCHA starting at 8 p.m., and Halloween Hoedown, the Adam Knapp Band, plays the Coven at 8 p.m. Hit the open mic with Carrick McAllister at K&R Sports Bar at 7 p.m., and Grand On Stage presents Tom Morello at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Lud Temper, Black Absinthe, Sweet Machete, and Dusty Coyote play The Mansion starting at 9 p.m., and Craig Cardiff plays Musiki from 5:30 to 7:30, as well as 9 to 11 p.m. Also on Saturday, No Limits is classic rock covers at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. Looking for something fun to do Sunday afternoon? Catch Canadian Songbook, hits of Neil Young, Bruce Cockburn, Alana Miles, Gord Lightfoot, and more at the Broom Factory starting at 2:30. Sundays with Eric and Megan, folk duo, play The Coven at 5 p.m. MW2, Mozart and Schubert Music, is at the Isabel Bader Center starting at 2:30 p.m. And the Ontario Festival of Small Halls presents Danny Mitchell at Joshua Bates Center at 7:30 p.m. And those are your concerts for this week, October 20th to 26th. Thanks so much for joining us. If you have a concert you'd like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Hey, how's it going? My name is Ellie MacArthur, the CFRC intern from Queen's Department of History, and it's time for our events calendar for this week. On Wednesday the 22nd, Accessibility First Speaker Series with Dr. Sarah Silverman, Access Friction, What Can We Learn from Situations on Which Access Needs Differ in Conflict, is an online lecture at 1 p.m. You can also register for this event through the Queen's Events Calendar. Book lovers can join the Science Fiction and Fantasy Book Club at Stauffer Library's Fireplace Reading Room starting at 7 p.m. And if you're in the mood for some karaoke, at 7 p.m. it starts at Jersey Sports Bar, at 8 p.m. it starts at Timeout Bar, and at 9 it starts at The Mansion. On Thursday, brush up on your fun facts and head over to Trivia at Riverhead at 7 p.m. or to Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. On Friday, October 24th, Board Teachers, The Struggle is Real comedy tour takes place at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. And in the mood for some Halloween fun, the Creepy Dolls Museum is at the Broom Factory from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Or if you're looking for some mental stimulation, Who Owns Our Knowledge? A Practical Guide to Open Access at Queen's takes place at Stauffer Library, room 014, starting at 1 p.m. On Saturday, the Creepy Dolls Museum continues. This all-ages event starts at 5 and goes till 9:30. And the Masquerade Gala at Our Lady of Fatima Parish starts at 5:30 p.m. Take a walk at Milburn Creek Nature Reserve Trail before it gets cold to see the Wild Art Walk 2025. This runs until the 31st. That's it for our events calendar from October 20th to 26th. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you have an event that you would like to add to our online or on-air event calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.